Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. When you think back on your life, what did your mother teach you? Or better yet, what didn't your mother teach you? On a different trail, what have you ever wanted to know about people in their 30s? What are people in their 30s talking about? Can you imagine a club called the Dirty 30s Club? Yeah, it sounds interesting, doesn't it? Now tell me, when was the last time you heard something about living one day at a time? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone now who has some of the answers that you've been looking for? Are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She has provided us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons. Before I introduce her, I'd love to invite you to call in during the show. The call-in number is 818-431-8506 with any questions that you have. Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our guest. She is a three-time award-winning author who won her first award at the age of 16. She is president and founder of the Dirty 30s Club. This is a blog that promotes self-awareness, personal empowerment, and spirituality through stories and personal reflection. Since its launch in September 2010, the club has had readers from over 100 countries, and its popularity continuing. She was born and raised in Malaysia to parents of Chinese ancestry. My guest moved to Australia on her own when she was 19 with a scholarship to go to university. She graduated with a Bachelor's of Commerce from the University of Melbourne, followed by a Master's of Commerce in Advanced Finance from the University of New South Wales before she was 23. This was followed by a successful career as a management consultant. Despite her stellar academic achievements and her successful career, she battled with a difficult childhood growing up in a traditional, strict Asian home. After a decade of battling with depression and suicidal tendencies, she started on a journey of personal growth in 27 in an attempt to reconcile with her past and heal her difficult childhood. After spending 7 years of her career as a successful management consultant working with large corporations and government departments, she left her consulting career to follow her calling in life to write and inspire. Her book, What My Mother Never Taught Me, The Seven Things I Wish I Had Known About Finding Happiness, is a memoir with a message containing the lessons she learned during her journey of self-healing and growth. She is a voracious reader and avid blogger. Actually, she's a fantastic blogger who's dedicated her time to writing and inspiring others to become aware of themselves and to live their highest and best life. She is currently living in Melbourne, Australia, and it is with great pleasure that I welcome to our show today, Zhao. Let me have it here. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Zhao Ki Lim. Am I saying that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, wonderful. I have just had the most fabulous time visiting your blog and your website. And, oh, my gosh, you are a fantastically talented young woman. I'm very impressed with what you have done so far. And this is your first book that you've written now, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. It's my first book in English. I was published in a foreign language. I was published before, but that was many, many years ago. So this, in a sense, is my reincarnation, my different incarnation, and it's my first book in English.
Okay. I love the reincarnation. That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't it? You sort of go through phases in your life where you have turning points. And when you look back, you think that, you know, that was a point of rebirth. There was a point where I reincarnated into my current form. So this is what it's like for me right now.
Oh, yes, I can see that. And, you know, the title of your book is fantastic. And it gave me a chance to reflect on my mother and also reflect on my role as a mother. And I have four children and I have seven grandchildren. So you have some words of wisdom that you share with your readers. Now, you talk about the seven. First of all, tell us, why did you write the book? What prompted you to do it?
Well, like, the story actually goes way back to the time when I was growing up. So I had a, like you said in my introduction here, I had a very traditional Asian upbringing. Mm-hmm. So my parents were very strict with us, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. Like, both my parents were teachers, and they were teachers in the Chinese school system. So, you know, they're very academic focused. And my mom used to discipline us with this stick, right, this rattan cane. And she had five of those just lying around the house. So whenever we weren't, like, doing, when we're doing mathematical problems, if we weren't getting it right, she would hit us. You know, she would hit us until we get it right. So that's how I grew up, pretty much. And there was very high expectations around academic performance and achievements. So it wasn't just good enough to get an A. I actually had to be the top in my class, or I had to get a perfect score of 100%. And if I didn't, she would, you know, she would punish me, she would hit me, and she would keep telling me that, look, you know, you have to be better, you have to be better. You know, this is not good enough. So that's how I grew up, pretty much. It worked in favor of the results, because I turned out to be a very good student. I was struggling before, but after her disciplining me, I turned out to be a very good student. So I was pretty much focused my entire childhood and my teenage years just studying and doing well in school. And what happened was, after I left university and started working, I just suddenly realized that there was so much about life that I had already missed out on. Like, I didn't have many friends, and I didn't start dating until I was 24 years old. So imagine that, like, I was such a late bloomer. I had no clue about boys, no clue about relationships. And I was in a job that I didn't like. Like, I didn't get to choose my profession of my choice. I wanted to be a journalist, but my parents wouldn't let me because it was a profession that they didn't think was practical. And the reasoning behind that was that, you know, like, writers don't make money. It's not a profession that's really very value-adding. You know, you don't get much success out of that. So they gave me a few choices. I could be a doctor, I could be an engineer, a lawyer, or an accountant. So I didn't like science, so I went the accounting path, but I was so unhappy in my job. And then the year when I was 26, going on 27 years old, everything sort of just happened at the same time. Like, I wasn't getting a promotion in my job for 4 years. My boyfriend at the time dumped me, and I thought that he was the one. Literally, I was so in love with him. I was so devastated when he left. So uh-huh. all these things were happening, and I couldn't cope. You know, like I was just really depressed about everything, and really not sure where my life was heading. Don't know, you know, what really is the meaning of life? And I was asking myself all these questions, and I was thinking, you know, when I was growing up, nobody told me that school is just a small part about life, and I focused my entire life just doing well in school. Just to find out that, you know, when you grow up and when you enter the workforce, it really doesn't matter anymore. Nobody cares if you got straight A's or if you were a gold medal or if you were best student, you know? And
right.
like just to go into that shock, right? Just to think that, wow, you know, there were so many things that I needed to know that I didn't know. I was so ill-equipped to handle stress at work, to handle my relationships, to resolve conflicts. And the only way I could cope was I would just curl up in bed under my blanket and just cry. That was the best I could do. Yeah, and it got to a point where I was suffering under so much pain. And I was just thinking, you know, like, I don't know how to cope with this. When is this going to end? And just mm-hmm. kept waiting and waiting, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you know, I had this divine intervention. Like, a marketing lady called me randomly one day and tried to sell me a ticket to a seminar. And I just thought, you know what, why not? And I bought it, and that was the thing that changed everything for me. So that
wow.
got me learning about so many things. Like, I literally just dedicated all my spare time to studying, reading, attending seminars. I spent all my vacation days attending seminars.
Uh-huh.
I spent close to $70,000 going to all kinds of seminars, taking courses, just to develop myself, because I
uh-huh.
knew I was inadequate in so many ways.
Uh-huh.
And when I look back on those, on that time when I started writing this book, I thought to myself, you know, I'm actually writing a book that I needed to read. Like, these are all the things that I wish somebody had taught me when I was growing up. And if my mother had actually taught me all that, it would save me so much pain. But the plus side of it is I did go through that journey, and I did learn a lot of valuable lessons and met many wonderful people and just had this spiritual awakening
uh-huh.
that is an experience that's completely surreal. So it was all worth it. And at the end of the day, really, the book was written for me. Like, it was written for myself 6-7 years ago when I was at that point in my life where, you know, I just felt that there was no point to anything. You know, there was no point to life. There was no meaning. Like, I just really didn't know why I existed. That's why I wrote this book, and that's why I call it What My Mother Never Taught Me, because really, those are the things she never taught me, and I wish she did.
Okay. Well, you know, your message is it's a wonderful message that you're getting out to people. And we have to take a break and hear from our sponsor, SuccessMO.com. But when we come back, Jill, I'd like to talk to you about your website, where people can get your book. And also, I'd like you to share some of the 7 things that you wrote about in your book with our listeners. We'll be right back.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to SuccessMO.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. SuccessMO.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you, receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at SuccessMO.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that SuccessMO is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of SuccessMO.com, you need to think, learn while you earn, and always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. SuccessMO.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. SuccessMO.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. This is January Jones with my wonderful guest, Jalki Lim, who is Skyping in with us from Melbourne, Australia. Jal, could you share with my listeners your website information and tell us where your books will be available?
Well, they can go to my blog, which is the Dirty Studies Club, and it's on the dirtystudiesclub.com/blog. Or if they want to, all the links are there. If they want to get some free chapters of the book, they can go straight to whatmymothernevertaughtmebook.com. So that's whatmymothernevertaughtmebook.com. Register and get some free samples when they're available.
Oh, wonderful. And when will your book be published? When will it be available for the public?
Well, like, I'm really hesitant to give a date because, you know, once you say something, people will hold it to gospel. I'm just like, you know, incriminating myself, I'm going to say sometime this year.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, I want you to promise me that when you actually have a date where it comes out, that you will contact me. And
yes,
I'd love to do a show in connection with your launch so that we can promote your book. I want my listeners to know that when they go to your website, you can sign up for the Dirty 30s Club, and you will receive a free ebook with 48 essays. And I must confess, I'm far, far beyond 30, but I did sign up because I wanted to read these essays, because from what I have read on your blog, you are a positively brilliant writer, and I'm so glad that we can share you with our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now tell us, let's talk about the seven things you wish your mother had taught you. And I know these are the things that you will teach your children. What would number one be, the first thing that you wish you had been taught?
The first thing and the most empowering thing for me was the idea that I had a choice. Out of the seven things, all the seven things are structured in terms of a dichotomy. So the first dichotomy was choice versus chance. So it's this idea that, you know, out of the sphere of everything that happens in this world, you know, like everything that happens to us, from us, you know, about us, there are really only two categories: things that we can control and things that we cannot control.
So
the most empowering thing for me is to understand and be able to see in every situation at every moment in time, what are the elements I can control, which means, you know, what are the things I can make choices about and what I cannot control. So, you know, as you know, like the only thing we can control is ourselves. We can only control our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. Those are really the three things that we can control. Everything else really is beyond our control. We influence it, but it's not in direct control. We can't tell the weather when it's supposed to rain, when it's supposed to shine. We can't tell the economy how it should behave. We can't tell other people how to make the decisions. We can't control what they say to us or what they do to us. You know, we may influence it, but we can't control it. So the idea is that once you realize that what you can control and what you cannot control, there's a liberation and a freedom that comes to it. And the reason I say that was because, you know, during all the years when I was sad and depressed and suicidal, I was waiting for something to happen to make me happy. I literally was just lying in bed waiting for something to happen, you know, to make it all go away. And when I came to this realization that, you know what, because I have pain doesn't mean I have to suffer, I felt so liberated because suddenly I felt that I had the choice. I could choose to stop being depressed and sad then. But making a choice is one thing. Knowing how to do it is another. So there's actually a two-part process. The second part is understanding that there is a sequence of events that need to happen in altering your emotional state. Mm-hmm. So this was something I had to learn because I actually didn't know there was a connection. So there's actually a process in which, you know, certain things have to happen before we arrive at a certain emotional state. So I used to think that, you know, I can't control my emotions. I feel what I feel when I feel it. But that's actually not true. Once I started learning about it, there's actually a whole chain reaction about the whole emotional sequence. So what happens is that it starts with a trigger. So the trigger could be anything. It could be something you see, could be a music or something you smell, a scent that reminds you of something. So most of the time, you know, we're not aware of that trigger because it happens so subconsciously and so automatically. And it just sets up something in us. Like, you know, it just triggers off a memory in us. Like if you smell something, a perfume that your mother used to wear, and suddenly brings back memories to you. That, so that's what I'm talking about. That trigger sets off a thought in your mind, and that thought actually leads to an emotion. So, for example, like this is me during my days when I was really suffering. When I see couples walking down the street, I used to get really sad. Mm-hmm. And when I really sat down and wrote down the sequence of events of why that made me sad, it, the thought that actually preceded that was like, you know, I really like to have that. You know, I don't like being alone. So when I see like a couple holding hands walking down the street, you know, the thought that followed afterwards is that, you know, I wish I had that. I don't have it. And that's what made me sad. So once I figure out the whole sequence of events, I could feel it and I could change it. So, you know, you can go back and replace that thought with something else saying, oh, that's nice. You know, that's what love looks like. So that's what I want to have in my life in the future. So just by changing that essence, the perspective on that thought, the same trigger actually creates a different emotional response. So that was the most empowering thing I learned, you know, immediately after I came to this realization that, oh, I have a choice. I could choose. This is so cool. And and another thing was also that, you know, regardless of what people say and what they do to us, we always have a choice in how we respond. So we can always choose whether we want to respond positively or negatively. And, you know, how we feel about it, what we say about it, and what are actions that follow afterwards. So if you really think about it, at every moment in time, we do have a choice. We are in charge of every single moment of our lives. And I really like to think that when you take care of each moment, you really take care of all time. And that's how you live a good quality life, in my opinion.
Right. Now tell me, when you were growing up in your home in China, it sounds as though it was a very strict, it was not a joyful home. Did you have siblings?
I did. Like, I was the third out of four children. So we had, by Asian standards, that's not a too big a family, but by Western standards, that definitely was. And all my siblings and myself, we were quite close in terms of the age gap. So my brother, who was older than me, was only a year older than me. And my younger sister was just 2 years younger than me. So we were all quite age-wise.
I heard that I've always been under the impression that people in China were only allowed to have two children.
But my family migrated to Malaysia.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so we didn't have that kind of issues because, you know,
And what was it like for you when you left home and went to university? That must have been a very traumatic change in your life, wasn't it?
It was mixed, actually. Like, I was excited. I was excited because it was the first time I get to experience the world. That was the first time I was actually, you know, left home to go overseas, to live overseas. So I was really excited by that. But at the same time, I also had a rude awakening because coming into a different culture, I experienced people from different upbringings and just suddenly see such a stark contrast between my upbringing and theirs. And, you know, suddenly it puts everything into perspective and you think that, you know, a lot of that was probably not necessary. My parents probably didn't need to do that, you know. Like, especially coming into you know, Australia and seeing how my Australian friends were being raised, how relaxed their parents were about everything and, you know, how much freedom they have. And it just made me thought that, wow, you know, all that was, seriously, I don't know, is my family a communist? Like, what's going on, you know? It definitely gave me a bit of a culture shock and definitely gave me some perspective and, you know, an ability to compare and contrast what was good about my upbringing and what was not so good about my upbringing. Hence, I was able to actually, you know, start looking at it and critiquing whether it was necessarily the best way to raise children. So, you know, like, as with, you know, all parents know this, like, there are no hard and fast rules to parenting. You really just need to go with the flow and just adapt and respond accordingly. And that's how good parenting should happen. But in my family, we're just pretty much, you know, the same model all the way. Like, that's how my grandparents raised my parents. That's how my parents raised us. And that's how we're expected to raise our children.
And, of course, now you've broken the mold, and you're going to be doing it much differently, I can tell already. just briefly, I want to commend you on your blog, The Dirty 30s. I just love the title. I think it's fantastic. And I was so pleased to see that you've gotten such a big response. You're talented, and I love reading what you write and also other people that blog with you. What a fulfilling thing you've discovered. Hasn't this been a joyful experience for you?
Oh, it's really wonderful. I think especially one of the things that was liberating for me, because I know since I was very young, when I was 8 years old, I knew I wanted to write. I've always wanted to. But there was this obstacle in my way, which was the practicality of a profession. Like, I literally was at loggerheads with my parents about what I want to do as a career, and I really wanted to be a journalist, and my parents wouldn't let me. So all through my 20s, after I graduated from university, I kept saying to myself, I can't believe I have this gift and this desire, but I'm not allowed to use it. And the whole time I thought I had no choice. You know, I thought that I had no choice in my career because I had chosen a path and I had no choice but to walk it. And it came to a point where literally just days before I turned 30, I decided that, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to resign, put in my resignation, and just decided that this is what I was going to do for the rest of my life, you know,
good
until something else comes up. So that really was liberating for me.
Oh,
and I do
encourage
people to do it. Like, there is a reason why you have a gift and you have a passion for it. Like, you were meant to do something with it. And, you know, I just hate to see it go to waste.
And I feel the same way about writing myself. And I do hope that in the future we'll be able to look forward to you participating with us in our Successimo program, because you have so much information and inspiration to share with the world. I want to thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. And now for my listeners, tune in at 12 noon Eastern Daylight Time. I'm looking forward to presenting many fascinating, successful coaches that will amaze, amuse, and astonish you on Blog Talk Radio. All my shows are live. However, you can catch any of these interviews with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. If you've enjoyed this show, please click the Follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with Blog Talk Radio. All your comments are welcome. And if you are interested in checking out our Successimo program, just go to our website, www.successimo.com. You can look it over and sign on without any obligations whatsoever. My sponsor email is januaryjonesinfo@gmail.com. I would love to mentor you and help you get started so you can learn, earn, and return as you play it upward. You know, Successimo is an amazing opportunity to help out any nonprofits or charities that you work with. You can actually help them raise funds without asking for money. It is a positively brilliant plan and so easy to implement anytime, anywhere. So for now, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing Successimo with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, I want to thank my wonderful guest, Dow Ki Lim, for joining us today and sharing her success stories. This is January Jones thanking all of you for joining me on my journey today and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones sharing Successimo stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you think it, you can do it. That's what all of our success coaches have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own Successimo story with your family and friends. We hope that our stories will encourage you to explore an equation in the future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others, and that will equate to creating cash for your future. Your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you learn while you earn with us and January Jones, sharing Successimo stories.
Thank you.